The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, season 20, episode number one. This is welcome to the first edition of this season of The Break, presented by LG. We got a brand new sponsor for the beginning of this season. LG is our new sponsor of the show, and so we'll be bringing you lots of content this season that will be presented by LG. So how's everybody doing today? We good?
Number one?
It is episode number one of this season. So we're in 20. This is our 20th season of doing Cowboys Break.
All right.
And this is episode number one.
That's kind of a big deal.
And by the way, there's some
things. What's the timetable here? Like, why today?
April just began. It's a new fiscal year for the NFL. That would be when we flip the numbers.
Yes.
So there you go.
The one consistent, he said 20 years.
Shut your dumb.
No, I was not saying it like that. I was just giving you the information.
The one consists about 20 years.
Him.
Yeah. He keeps track of it, for sure.
Fair.
He's the consistent of all the 20 years.
Smell your rose.
Actually, I will say this. There was a brief period. I can't remember the year. There was a brief period when we're still back at Valley Ranch.
Yeah.
When I got off the show because I was like, I got too much business work to get done.
Sure.
And then we lost somebody. I think that was when Rowan left.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have anybody else put on the show. So I got back on the show, and then I just kind of was like, I'm going to do it. I'm
I thought
figure it
was
out.
Me, Mickey, Rowan, and Sidney Durso. I thought
that would have been Talking Cowboys.
That was Talking Cowboys.
And I think when I got off the show, I thought we pulled Rowan over.
Yeah.
I thought we pulled Rowan over to break, and I got off of the break.
Yeah.
And I was off for maybe like – it was in the off season, I think. And I think it may have been for like a few months. And by the time we got to that next season, I was right back in. And,
I remember working with all those folk.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Actually, speaking of which, one of the things I kind of want to do this year, and I haven't decided if and how I'm going to do it, but I want to consider, with it being our 20th season, trying to bring some of the folks that have been a part of the break over the years back for some episodes.
That'd be
really cool. I know Dia's back in town now, so we might be able to bring her in.
It's kind of a fun June project when you got nothing going on.
We got a lot of people that have been around. Maybe we'll get Helman to call in a bit. He's in L.A., so he's living big. So I don't know if he'll be in town, but, you know, get him rolled through. And
Helman's
we got other
first,
folks.
The first thing you put Helman on was the draft show.
Yep, absolutely.
And when he first carded, everybody's like, I don't know about this guy. He looks kind of goofy. You know, I don't want to. And I'm like, I'll
and then he grew a beard, and it was like, oh, he kind of looks cool.
I'll take him, you know, LSU guy. You got to take care of LSU guys. But
well, he took care of you.
He took care of you. I'll tell you what. Seriously, I would never take another job in writing.
Unless you can bring him.
Yeah. He literally, every year he was here, he read every story, edited every story. Even after all the stories he wrote in a game, he would edit my stories. And that's crazy. And he's like, man, you got a little better at writing, a little better. And I'm like, bro, I'm just glad you're here.
And still to this day, the image you have of him is sitting there looking at his computer, rubbing his eyebrow.
Yeah. Like,
how he concentrates.
He goes, you actually made a very coherent sentence there, Brian. Really good for you. Way to go, you know. And I'm like, I write like a scout, you know, dash, whatever, and all that. And he would make all that work. And I do. I owe him everything.
You
unless
you guys take care of each other.
We try.
I gotta say that.
It takes two guys to write one story.
But we may try that. We may try to pull in some of our old break hosts and have them join our show a few times this year, with it being our 20th year celebration. And maybe at some point we'll have some kind of big celebration.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, awesome. That would be nice.
Jerry could take us all to dinner.
Sure, I'll do that. I will take us all to dinner. I can do that. You know, I'm not going to turn down.
You never turn down food, but I just throwing it out there.
Yeah, we could do that. All right, let's jump in. Let's talk. Chris is like, I'm in.
Chris is in for the smoke whiskey drink.
Right, with the smoke coming up.
The smoke out of the whiskey glass. Yeah,
free meal and a new fridge, Beamer.
All right, let's talk about 30 visits.
Yeah,
they are starting this week. And I guess first, Patrick, give me kind of an idea of what who we can expect, some of the names that are kind of out there that we've reported that are going to be here this week.
Okay, so thank you for putting me right on the spot. I got the
information.
So let me just pull it up. All right. So what's been reported, and I'll just go quickly unit by unit. So for offensive line, we have Matt Goncalves, the beloved Jackson Powers Johnson. That's a big, big name. We got Fuego out of Oregon State and Graham Barton out of Duke. Those are your reported offensive line official 30 visits. And again, for those that aren't aware, those start today. Running backs, reported running backs. We got Jonathan Brooks. That's a big name to keep an eye on. I know. There you go. You want to say hook him?
Hey, hook him.
There you go. All right. Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. He's one. Bucky Irving out of Oregon. Trey Benson out of Florida State. Those are the reported running backs. There are others, but we're working to confirm those names. Who else we got? Defensive line. We got Darius Robinson out of Missouri. He's a reported one. Keep an eye on a guy like Byron Murphy. We're working to confirm that he's an official 30 visit. Linebackers. This is a massive group that the Cowboys are focusing on, as are running backs. But linebackers, Edrin Cooper, Texas A&M, the Aggie. Peyton Wilson, North Carolina State. Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. Junior Colson, Michigan. Jordan McGee, Temple. Nathaniel Watson, Mississippi State. And again, those are what's reported. Those are what have been confirmed. The other names, and we have several of those that I will refrain from at the moment until we can get confirmation, but a lot going on starting today with the Cowboys in the official 30s.
Yep, and it's a lot of players that will be coming through. And to be noted, the Cowboys are traditionally they'll get some of these guys. You'll see them draft these guys they bring in. So it is worth noting. What stands out to you about these names, Brian? As you look at these names, what kind of pops out as you, whether it's particular players or particular positions?
Yeah, Fuaga, the tackle, might be the best tackle in the draft. And I know that people talk about Alt from Notre Dame. Fuaga is from Oregon State. Surprising, you know, to me, that immediately when I heard the name, very well, and great job by DallasCowboys.com getting those names together and getting them out.
Shouts out to Nick Harris.
Yeah, well. Nick Harris has done a tremendous job on the draft show as well. And but the first thing that came to mind is that's a trade-up guy right there. That's not a wait till 24 and get guy. That is if you're going to have to go, there are teams that have him and I've talked to that have him as the best tackle in the draft. You know, I
mentioned which means he would be top 10 in that.
Yeah,
instance, right?
You know, I thought the landing spot for him would be at the lowest would be the Jets at 10. Mm-hmm. You know, they went and got Tyron Smith. We've talked about Tyron Smith going there. But Fuaga is a tremendous player, could play guard, could play tackle. He's athletic. He's powerful. You know, that those are the kinds of things. I mean, that was one of those that I'm like thinking there's something up there because I just don't think you're going to get him at 24. Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, is dealing with some medical things. They checked him out at the combine. You're starting to see him some mock drafts of some of the prominent mock drafters are keeping him out of the first round. So what's happening is the media scouts are starting to catch up with what went on at the combine with some of the medical stuff here.
Do you know what kind of medical?
It's some things that need to be checked. I know I have an idea. I want to get some things confirmed.
Yeah.
What he has, I don't want to sit here and then say, well, he's got this, and it's actually not. Because, yeah, there's a couple of things, though, that, again, talking to my gang of seven around the league, talking to people, some trainers around the league, there's some things that have to be checked there. So hopefully we'll get that done before the night of the draft. Barton is another one that's dealing with. Now, I know for a fact he's dealing with some shoulder stuff because at the combine, at his pro day at Duke, he couldn't do any of the pushing drills, anything, you know, with extension. He didn't bench press, so he's dealing with a shoulder that he's having fixed. Brooks, we know from Texas, is dealing with a knee. Tremendous player. Him, Benson, Allen, Irving, all these backs, they're hunting backs right now, as you can see. They're also, as Patrick told you, they're hunting linebackers here. Let me give you a name that I really, really, really like out of this whole thing. When you start to talk about linebackers, especially inside linebackers, you know, Cooper's outstanding from Texas A&M, but this Trevin Wallace from Kentucky is a bad man. At 6'1", 237 pounds, you don't have to take, and I'm sorry, I'm not turning this into the draft show.
No, it's all good. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, they're bringing in dudes that can play football. And that's the whole idea. You know, hey, you know, maybe you haven't heard a lot about Wallace at Kentucky. If you have the opportunity, take a peek at him, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't take long to find him on tape. You don't have to ask what number he is. You see him right there. Boom, that's him. That's him. That's him again. So he can finish when he gets in position. He doesn't get fooled by running plays. He's physical at the point of attack. He's a team captain, emotional leader. There's so many things. He's 21 years old, too. Mm. And he plays like you hope he's on your team.
Is he a day one starter type guy?
Oh, absolutely. He's a plug and play guy. This guy, I mean, because he's got such a feel for how to play, whether you put him in coverage, or, you know, like he understands, like sometimes the linebackers, they drop and they kind of just float around. He's a drop, I see what you're trying to do behind me and get over guy. Ooh. You know,
there aren't a lot of those.
Yeah. You know, and Mike Zimmer, from what I know about Mike wants guys. If Mike will tell you this, if it's a smaller guy, you want to be able to have that elite awareness like what Dat Nguyen had. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, if you're going to be a shorter guy, be elite with your ability to your instincts and things like that. If you're a bigger guy, if you have instincts, you have size, you have ability to play at the point of attack, you can help me in coverage, you can occasionally blitz you. This makes perfect sense for a Mike Zimmer type of linebacker that we're dealing with.
Is he a first round or second round guy? Like, where is he projected?
I think he's more, to me, I feel like that when I had him on my board was in the second round. Okay. But the thing about him is, though, him and Wilson, Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State, maybe another name that we'll hear. I don't think you said Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State. If you didn't, don't. It might be a name that you hear about here in the next few days. I don't know. But the thing about these guys, they're very
yes, he's confirmed.
Okay, Peyton Wilson, Wallace, keep an eye on these cats. Both of them instincts, downhill players, tough. Make every single tackle, play well in coverage.
Healthy?
Not as healthy as Wallace. Okay, dealing with some stuff there. And that's maybe what keeps him out of the first round.
Yes.
But that might give you the opportunity to me, Wilson could be a trade back guy. You know, if you drop back, if you know, say for example, we get in this draft and all of a sudden, you know, Baltimore calls you, or Buffalo calls you at 28, and you could pick up their third, their end of the round third. Baltimore calls you at 30. You could pick up the end of the round third for them. You don't have a fourth. Those are trade back options right there. Yes. The way the Cowboys have got this thing set up, like I say, Fuaga is a go up. Some of these other guys might be, we're in kind of no man's land right now. We're between our second round pick and our first round pick. If we go back a certain level, we got to get this guy because we can't get him back at 56. So the list that they're bringing in, I applaud them for what they're doing right now.
But two things worry me about. You put these two things together.
I know.
Linebacker injuries.
And injuries.
Like you especially if you start looking second round, just think about the litany of second round linebackers the Cowboys have taken who came in the door already injured that were great players. I mean, they had the ability.
For five years, they had the ability,
but just couldn't get over that injury bug, right?
Yeah,
and that's the part that really concerned me. And by the way, I'm starting to wonder if it's just linebackers. Like that is a high collision position, right? And it's going to be hard to find people who aren't injured, right?
But given with how much is at stake this year, how much because of the cap, how much they're going to have to rely on the draft, is this a draft where maybe they don't take those types of risks? Because we know in the
even
past,
in the second round,
they've drafted players that fall back to the second round because of injuries or whatever. They take them, and then sometimes they turn out to be good talent, but we know the risk in that and how long that takes. So is this a draft that maybe they're not willing to do some kind of moves like
that? I don't
know
that they're going to depart from their annual way of handling things. And I say that to say I don't think that Will McClay is looking at it as, okay, I need the best possible draft pick at every possible selection this year, because he looks at that the same way last year, the year prior. He'll look at it the same way next year. So I think his approach is going to be the same. But I also do think that it matters what the position is that and who the player is. So if you look at Jonathan Brooks, for example, one of the reasons they're interested in Jonathan Brooks is not only because obviously he's a dynamic talent on the field, but guess who did his procedure for his torn ACL.
Same thing with Jalen Smith.
There you go.
So, Notre Dame.
So when they have that type of information, that type of insight, I think that makes them feel like it's less of a risk having that information. So it's contextual, but I don't think that this is a situation where Will McClain, his scouts, go into the offseason saying, oh, well, we got to change things up.
This is the scary thing, and I'm not trying to be the wet blanket guy. You're dealing with a lot of coaches that are on one-year deals. Are you drafting for coaches that are on one-year deals, or are you thinking about the fact that, like, a lot of your depth went flying out this door? You know, you got to think about, and I know a guy like, say, a Mike Zimmer, I know how Mike operates. Mike is a bring me whoever you got guy. I'll coach him. I'll tell you what I like in a player, but bring me guys, you know. McCarthy has come out recently and talked on some media opportunities and said, I'm a draft and development guy. That's his background at Green Bay. Teddy Thompson picked the players. Mike, the coaches, stayed back. Mike really trusted Ted and what those guys do. I think Mike trusts Will and this crew to find players for him. I know from my experience working in this front office, though, that the Jones family will allow the head coach to have his say, whether you want to take it or not. Dave Campo, Chan Gailey, whoever. The head coach does have a say. But Mike has been conditioned himself to take a step back, let them do their jobs. But you do wonder is how much influence will coaches have on this draft, knowing that potentially it could be a completely different staff. But that's something you always, you know, you think about. You just got to go out, and like Patrick said, you go out and you have a plan for what you want to do. You get your players, you go forward, and you hope that, you know, everything works out. But that's a little bit of the danger right now with everybody being on that on that
also,
one-year deal.
And on top of that, I think you have to add, and I know they try to block out outside noise, and you're not going to allow outside noise to affect kind of what you do in this type of business. But at the same time, I wonder if the amount of pressure that they felt surrounding the Cowboys from the fan base, from the critics, everywhere, all around the media, this offseason, does that change into maybe the strategy that they're used to in drafting for the future?
Honestly, I don't think that has one even small amount of difference. Makes one small bit amount of difference to the people that are making the decision. I don't think they care one bit what is the national narrative or whatever. No. I think at the end of the day, they feel confident in Will McClay, and Will McClay feels confident in his evaluation, the evaluation of his team. To where I don't
Which
think they are at all.
Well,
yeah, and I don't think that at all is impacted by what people think of it.
It's not the outside pressure. It's the eternal pressure of not signing free agents. That's a legitimate pressure.
Because of what it means, what's left.
You now put a lot of pressure on two areas. One area is the draft. The second area is undrafted free agents. The one thing the Jones family will do is they will pony up for – you look at all the undrafted guys. Look at what they've done, T.J. Bass, guys like that. The money that they've spent, they will spend money on undrafted free agents. You know why? Those guys are on their draft board. T.J. Bass, like a fifth-round guy. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he goes through the whole draft. Nobody takes him. We got to have that guy. We thought enough of him. You know, they're willing to do that. This puts a lot of pressure on them because of what happened in last year's draft. You know, we'll see what happens with Mozzie and, you know, Schoonmaker and those guys. We'll see what happens with Overshown. You know, you still got to give it a chance. But the thing that now is, it's like, okay, we can't have back-to-back non-productive drafts. And then also they have to have, to kind of get all that depth back, they're going to have to figure out something, too, about those undrafted free agents. Mm-hmm. That's the next – that's going to be, instead of just signing guys off the street right now, that's your next best source draft, and then get those undrafted free agents. Now you've got 20-something guys that could potentially make a difference on your roster.
And not to get too far into draft talk, but it also makes me wonder if they're going to be looking even more so this year for opportunities to trade back and get more picks.
Yes.
That just gives them more cracks at it, gives them more bodies in the building. I think that could be another strategy where they're trying to fill in the depth that they've lost in free agency is by getting more picks to do it.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, just kind of offline, where it was like the Cowboys, they really want that fourth-round pick back. They really want that back. And I think they're going to go into the draft trying to figure out how to get that back. So I do expect expect at least one trade back, maybe day one, early day two. They're going to try to get them a fourth round back.
Go back four spots. You grab your third if you want.
Yep. No doubt. All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back. And I got some questions for you guys about kind of where the Cowboys sit heading into the draft post-free agency, or at least the first round of free agency, where they sit, what their biggest losses are, and some areas where they have some strength that maybe they can look to exploit. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Saddle up for the country sip and stroll in the Star District on April 17th. Enjoy themed sips and bites, country music, photo moments, gift shopping, exclusive offers, complimentary Western takeaways, and more. Featured over 15 participating shops, restaurants in the Star District. Get your ticket at thestardistrict.com.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break presented by LG. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and this segment is brought to you by blockchain.com. All right, so let's jump in. Here's what I wanted to talk about. Let's talk, or actually, before we get to that, we just got some breaking news. We'll go to. Let's go to Patrick and get that breaking news.
What's happening? As I write this article for Dallas Cowboys.
That's old school. Most people don't get that, Brian. I got that.
But go ahead. He's coming through on the wire.
Right.
Cowboys have officially agreed to terms with swing tackle Chuma Edoga. So this will be a second goal for Chuma Edoga with the Cowboys. It's on a 1-year deal through 2024. Does this absolutely guarantee Edoga a spot? No. He will be up against whomever the Cowboys decide to pick in the draft, assuming they go at tackle, and then of course we'll see what happens in undrafted free agency, but still an uphill battle for Edoga between mini camp, training camp, preseason. He's going to have to earn his roster spot, but as it stands, he's got one on the team.
And I still say keep an eye on Tyler Smith. I don't think it's a done deal after Tyron isn't coming back. I just say keep an eye on it. We'll see what happens.
As far as moving?
As far as moving to tackle.
I do. I feel like that the draft.
The draft's going to dictate.
I think the draft will dictate that.
Yep.
I do.
Yep. All right. So here's what I want to do. I want you guys to think about these names. And by the way, you could throw in another name if you choose. But if you had to say one player was the biggest loss for Dallas in free agency, a guy that signed somewhere else that was here last year, who would you say it is? I'll throw out some names. Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Biadasz, Tyron Smith, Tony Pollard, Dante Fowler, Jonathan Hankins.
it's Tyron Smith for me. And I get what you're saying. I know you're gung-ho, and I'm not mad at that. You're gung-ho about the Tyler Smith to left tackle. I get it. We've had the conversation. My only thing was, and I know I've heard Brian say this before, so I think we're on the same page with this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not that we aren't in on that, because we're in on that, mm-hmm. but it's the fact that the team has shown such adversity, such an adverse reaction to
making
it happen, that I don't feel like I should spend that energy about it. That's what I mean. Yeah. But I feel like if that holds true and they are still so adverse to possibly moving, because even when you hear Mike McCarthy speak from the owners' meetings, he basically said, well, yeah, it's an option, but the way he downplayed it was like, that's not our first, second, or third option, mm-hmm. right? So that being said, if that holds true, then the loss of Tyron Smith weighs very large for me, because who's your left tackle? If you keep in Tyler
Smith. Adoga.
I'm going to pass it off. you almost got me fired, and my boss is the one asking the question.
Wasn't trying to bait you.
All jokes aside, Adoga's not your, he's not your answer starting left tackle.
That's supposed to be your leader, quote-unquote leader.
Almost led you the wrong way.
We have a pretty good HR department.
Hey, I was going to take this route.
Yeah, almost led you to an unemployment office.
My man just yanked the wheel on you.
Yeah. No, so if they hold firm on, well, depending on how the draft shakes out, I think the answer is in the draft. If you don't get your answer in the draft, you're in huge trouble, period, bottom line.
But as Brian has told us, this is a very deep draft for tackles. There even are. If you don't get in the first round, you might find your answer.
You have to find your answer at some point in the draft.
It
doesn't have to be day one, but you have to find the answer.
Let's not forget about Awesome, too. I do think that's something we should keep an eye on. Because I think last year during camp, there was enough there to make me say, a little more development, he might be a guy that could be your answer. But keep going, Brian.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you would have just said, and I love Fowler and Armstrong and those guys, if you would have just said, who's a bigger loss, Tyron Smith or Jonathan Hankins? Mm. If you focus it even that way, let me ask you this. Did the Cowboys' run defense really play better with Jonathan Hankins in there? Do we still have questions? Even if you had Jonathan Hankins back, would you still have questions about the run defense?
It's fair.
You know, that's the thing I just kind of keep circling back, because we talk, they don't have a one technique on this roster right now. I mean, they're going to try and get Mozzie Smith built back up, and hopefully he can help out. You know, they're okay at three. Patrick told us the Murphy from Texas is coming in. He's a three technique. He's best three technique in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, he's seriously, you talk about but he's not a one technique. He's a three. You know, and you've got some three techniques already on this team. Maybe it doesn't keep you from draft, but it's got to be Tyron Smith, right? I mean, even though if you say that they don't have a one, but were they really that much better with Jonathan Hankins? Mm-hmm. So immediately we all think, the run defense is wrecked. They weren't very good with him in there at times. So maybe they needed to go a different route on this. So I would lean to Tyron Smith is what I would say.
Let me ask you this. How much – How much was the poor run defense a reflection of specifically Hankins' play or the poor linebacker play?
I think this is why we're getting all these linebackers on 30 visit, you know, and legitimate downhill physical.
Right, you put Hankins with one of those linebackers, is the run defense fixed, is my question.
Kendricks, my guy Wallace from Kentucky, you know, give me that comment. You know, Damone Clark. I think Damone Clark, the thing about him is, he went backwards for me, and I was expecting him to go forward, and maybe that had something to do with Leighton Vander Esch being out.
Yeah.
You know, things started to kind of, you know, it kind of was too much. But maybe the whole run defense itself, maybe it's not just Jonathan Hankins, as you say. Maybe it's Jonathan Hankins, linebackers, safety play, or undersized safeties trying to play as linebackers.
Yeah.
You know? But the Tyron Smith one hurts you just because now you're in a moment where you maybe have to move an all-pro guard or you're going to have to use the 24th pick overall on a tackle. That's the one. There's a lot of moving parts with that Tyron Smith loss.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you definitely saw the difference when Jonathan Hankins was there versus him not being there.
Sure.
We got a good look at what that was like for a brief period there. But with Tyron Smith, right now, I'm not suffering the loss as much just because I feel like it's been coming for years now.
Okay, I want to ask you that question. You've all along kind of been like, I don't want to be held hostage. I'm sorry if I'm saying it the wrong way. I don't want to be held hostage by the position anymore. You've been all along, and you've been up front about that. You're like, listen, I keep dealing with this every year. I keep dealing with the unknown. Are you okay with moving on? You're like, you're okay with this, right?
I've been okay because of that. I think as someone who suffers from anxiety, I'd like to know what I have to work with.
To a lot of Cowboy fans.
By the way, that seems to be a common
thing. I'd like to know what actually I got going on. You know, an injury you cannot predict and all that. But when you have a reoccurring issue, okay, you know what you can possibly expect. So I think, and that's not to say that when he was on the field, he was invaluable, because he really, really was and has been. But I think more so than him just leaving is the fact that even with him being here, let's say he was still here, I still have a crap ton of questions around the O-line in general, because they were good protecting Dak. They were pretty solid protecting him in the passing game. But what was happening in the run game...
Boy, you're so right about
that.
That
is a big issue. Right. And that is an area that the Cowboys definitely need to improve, because they need to create balance in that game. We did not see a good running game throughout the whole season. Maybe against Washington.
Yeah.
That was really that I can remember. But in general, I think I just have huge questions in the O-line. So I think that Tyron Smith, you're going to miss him in some aspect, but it frees you from allowing yourself to now be forced to what is the future from this point moving forward, and for you to actually have a clear vision, hopefully, of what the O-line is going to look like from this point on.
Yeah, I agree with you, Amber. I think that for me, it really is more Hankins than Tyron, because I've also been in that same camp with you. Tear the Band-Aid off. At some point, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to walk away from really great players, but we've seen a consistent pattern. Like, you can't get more consistent than knowing Tyron is not going to be able to play 17 games. We know this. This is historically a fact, right? And so I'm just like, I can't continue to always, every week, get to that Saturday night. Like you say, Brian, like literally you wake up Sunday morning and it's like, it's been good, but all of a sudden something cropped up and now we got a problem and now he can't play. I don't want to have to live in that world anymore. I have enough question marks. I'd rather go ahead and move on. And even if that means that the guy I have may be a little lesser right now, the point is I know what I'm getting every week. I can plan for that. And I'll take it one step further, Brian. When you talk about Hankins.
You know I'm about to hammer you on this.
I know, and that's fair. I'm looking forward to it. But when you talk about the defensive side of the ball, when you said Hankins, you got to look at him and say the run defense. Well, I think Amber made an astute point there. Yeah. If you're going to do that on defense, and you got to do the same on offense and say the run offense wasn't great.
Right.
Was Tyron also a part of that, right?
Yeah. The thing that I think – I accepted the unknown with Tyron Smith.
Because he was so great?
Because I knew I could win 12 games because he's going to play 13 of them. You know, we saw what others play in the position, how it affected the way it affected the chance you had of winning the football game.
I still have nightmares from Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back on us.
It's been a long time, how impactful that game was.
That was a nightmare game. But to me, I think that, like, I know that it's not, I could wake up in New Jersey and not play that day, and my chances of winning that game went probably way down because of him not being in there.
But
think I would rather accept that. I think I would rather accept the unknown of every week holding my breath, as opposed to this guy we got in here right now, other than Tyler Smith. Mm-hmm. Anybody else other than Tyler Smith right now, I'm thinking there's probably a chance we're going to lose this game today.
But that's also where I get back to, and I know what you're saying. The Cowboys have shown no desire to want to do this.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this roster, and I'm saying if you cannot draft a tackle that you think is capable – Tyler Smith will be, I will put money on it, he will be a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle.
I totally agree. That's what I said. And, I agree with you.
And I think Bass is more than capable
to play
left guard.
Yes.
So you have the answer sitting here if you choose to take that option.
Yeah.
And that's also why I think when you go into the draft, for me, I'm looking at center as a more important position I got to get drafted than even tackle because I have an answer here. It may not be my preferred answer, but it is an answer, and it's a workable answer.
Well, I'm always going to go center over left tackle. We had this conversation because I feel like the more important part of the offensive line is protecting the interior.
Sure.
And if you allow the interior to collapse, it doesn't much matter what happens on the edges because your play is blown up. So I'm with you on that for a slightly different reason, but I'm with you on that.
This is why you run the best media department in the world.
And not the best
scouting department.
I don't run the scouting department.
I just get right to talk now, on the radio. Right now, they would walk down the hall and they would say, Derek, congratulations. You run one of the most powerful media entities in the world. You're not picking players.
You're not going to pick players. I get it, and that's fair.
You're not wrong. Yeah. See, you're not wrong. If we took all the Cowboy Nation and all got in a room, if we all got in this 150-seat meeting room that they have with the players and had everybody say that everybody's with you, and they would walk in and say,
nope,
and you would go, okay, well, thanks everybody for coming.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah, you know, make sure everything, you know, but no, that's it.
But why is it a big no?
I don't know.
Well, honestly, I don't know.
There, I do know this about Jerry Jones. I know how important it is, and Patrick's absolutely right. Working with Jerry Jones, I know how important it is for him to have the middle of the pocket the way it is.
I think that's it. Yeah.
They draft a center in the first round. Teams were drafting Travis Frederick. You know, I mean, like people, he's a third round. No, that's a first round player right there. You know, look what they did with Zach Martin. No, we're not taking Johnny Manziel. We're taking a guard who played tackle at Notre Dame.
Right. We want him in the guard.
We want him at guard. Yeah. Their idea of keeping the front of the pocket clean and the ability to step up is important to them. It's a fundamental, it's like something if they walk down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt protect the middle of the pocket. Yep. You know, that's one of their Ten Commandments right there. You know, Jerry as Moses is awesome, by the way. That'd be kind of cool.
Jerry coming Moses. Down as Moses. But, does he have the hair for it?
Yeah, he would. He'll get there.
But
grow it out. You know,
Brian is proof you can do it, right?
Yeah, you can absolutely do it. Yeah. So the thing about it is, though, that's a fundamental. That's my opinion of it. You know, I say I don't know, but I know what their fundamental approach is, where the logical approach is kick that guy to left tackle, put Bass in there, and go out and draft Powers Johnson from Oregon, the center.
And you've got a really good offensive line, in my opinion.
Or Barton from Duke.
Yeah.
And now Amber, we're running the football.
You're running the football well.
Question. Yeah, we're running the football.
Going back to the pressure, are you at a point where you have to step out of your fundamentals and try something different?
Okay, I'm going to take a break. And then when we come back, you can ask that question again, and we'll see what they have to say. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to The Break.
All right, register now for the 2024 Dallas Cowboys Youth Camps presented by Invisalign. Athletes of all skill levels ages 6 to 16 are invited to learn from the best this summer at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Football camps are led by former NFL players, and dance camps are taught by the current Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Register before May 17th to save $25. Visit DallasCowboys.com/camps.
Welcome back. Final segment of The
quality
Break.
Reads today.
Live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by LG. Amber, just before the break, you had a question. Let's throw that question back out there.
Well, we keep talking about fundamentals and how the Cowboys have been all these years and how they usually handle free agency draft. Are we at a point where that teapot is just making so much noise right now that you're like, oh my God, this is about to tip over, where you have to step out of what you're used to doing, mm-hmm. and now you're kind of forcing yourself to try different things or different methods than what you're used to doing every
year? I think there's a difference between fundamentals and your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think those are two different things. And I think that once you understand that, then you would understand my answer to that, which is true fundamentals you should never get away from. Okay. Whether it be, you know, valuing the interior of the offensive line over the exterior of the offensive line, you don't change that just because of what you might be going through this offseason free agency or how the last season ended. Fundamentals are fundamentals for a reason, right? You're breathing for a reason. That's a fundamental. Comfort zone, free agency spending, your method of spending or not spending in free agency, that's not a fundamental. Even if you kind of grabbed a Sharpie and wrote that as the 11th commandment on your tablet, that's not actually a fundamental. That's your comfort zone. That's what you've kind of constructed.
I disagree with that. I think for this organization, I think their approach to free agency is a core principle for them. They believe, we heard Stephen talk about it. But that would be a core principle. Like, that would be the basis of what they believe and how they operate is we believe that you're going to overpay for free agents. And we're not willing to overpay for free agents. As Stephen said, you're going to pay a good guy, great money, or, you know, he had the whole list, right? That's a core principle. Right or wrong, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is that is a fundamental core principle for them. That is how they operate. That is how they've operated for how many years now? Like, that's just their approach. If they're going to spend, they're going to spend on their own guys. They have not gone out and shown a propensity to go out and spend in free agency for big-time free agents.
I agree in the aspect of what you're saying, that it is a core principle for them. I disagree that just because something has been deemed a core principle, that suddenly makes it a fundamental. Okay, so example.
Tell me the difference.
Let's use an example, okay. All right? Human body, all right? You breathe, fundamental. You don't have a choice. If you want to keep living, you got to keep breathing, right? If you want to keep living, you got to keep eating. But what if I said my core principle for the past 20 years was to eat French fries every day at, 12 noon because I feel like—
I applaud that, by the way.
Right. If I felt like that—
You're all in on that plan.
Waterburger ketchup on it, too.
Gravy. Got gravy on the fries.
The hot ketchup.
But let's say I chose, because I got to eat. That's the fundamental thing, right? But what and how much I consume or how little I consume, that might be a core principle for me. And that might work in my favor or it might not work in my favor. If my core principle is I'm going to eat broccoli every day at noon, then it's probably going to work in my favor.
Okay,
health-wise.
But even if you say that, though, in the Cowboys world, and take that analogy to the Cowboys world,
let's do it.
What becomes fundamental? Because there is nothing that you have to do. The only thing you have to do is stay under the cap. That's it.
Well, you have to spend a certain amount of money.
That's what I'm saying. But you got the cap.
Well.
That's not a fundamental principle. That is just a law. A fundamental principle is this is how we view it. This is how we're going to approach it, and it is the basis of what we do. Right.
He was on the debate team, and he's married to a lawyer.
No, I'm just like, tell me where I'm wrong here. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I was also on the debate team. You're not.
Oh, that does not shock me.
Yeah, you're not.
Right. I skipped class that day.
I need popcorn. I need popcorn.
You were outside playing football.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we're as far off as from each other's points as we think. Okay. I think we're splitting hairs because you're not wrong in that it is their core principle. It's how they deem that they want to operate. This is how they feel like what's going to put them in the best position for success. But then you look around the league and other teams have different core principles. And let's talk about the New England Patriots during their dynasty years. Their core principles turned them into an absolute juggernaut year in, year out. Now, those core principles have changed because now Bill is gone and all of that. So core principles can change, but I don't feel like basic fundamentals can or should change, even if we're talking about the X's and O's. Certain X's and O's at certain positions, there are fundamentals. Go to basketball. A fundamental would be the ability to shoot a free throw effectively. That's a fundamental. Keep your fundamentals down. Now, you can shoot threes like Steph Curry. That's wonderful. But when you get to the foul line, can you ...
What would you say? Was it a principle or fundamental what they changed with trading draft picks for players?
I think that's a principle change.
That's something they've never. They love their picks,
right?
And we saw what they did with Cooks
to my point. Yeah, I think
that's a core principle they decided to change.
Which
for me means it's not a fundamental, because if you can change that, then it's not a fundamental. And that's where we're kind of split.
Yeah, I guess. I don't define fundamental the way you do, but that's fine. That's fair.
That's why I said we're not far off. It's just a matter of how
to me fundamental and core principle I think are very similar things.
Not the same thing.
But to get to your point, I don't think they necessarily are changing. They've shown us this offseason.
Yeah.
They're not looking to necessarily change their core principles of how they view roster building.
Right.
I think they are sticking to the principles that they've always had. Like, this is not new. This is what they've always done. The only difference between this year and last year they actually traded for some players. They didn't spend money in free agency.
They also gave up a four for Trey Lance, who they never used.
Right.
When was the last time they faced a situation with a quarterback and other potential players, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons eventually too, where now they're kind of tight to where it changes the amount of spending during free agency and what they've done this year? Because even their own guys, they've lost a lot of their own key players for the team, or maybe there were, I think the money has a huge play in this situation. Yes. So now, therefore, you're kind of by the laws of fundamentals, whatever you want to call it.
What you're saying is that there's a different set of circumstances this year because you didn't do what you normally do, which is re-sign your own guys.
Exactly. You're now
that's fair.
Forced to.
Some core principles need to change, to your point. Some core principles do need to change.
And I guess that's the point you're making is you aren't resigning your guys, so what gives?
Like, you maybe have to look at the draft differently than what you're used to. Yeah. That's how I think the situation is, because now, as Brian listed everything that's going on with the coaching staff and everything that's happening, and the amount of pressure, and even Jerry Jones, he said it many, many times how much he wants to win. And that's, I think, every year as the years go by, that just enhances even more and more and more. So it's at a point where, yes, obviously you have to draft for the future. I mean, you're bringing young guys. That's just the nature of living, and that's what happens. But at the same time, now, are you looking at it a little slightly different because of the pressure and the high need that you have for this season?
I will say that some core principles need to change. It's a short example being when they tried to adopt the core principle of wide receiver by committee, it blew up in their face, and then now you have Amari Cooper. So certain things like that, yes, you go into this offseason and you say, hey, these are what's happening. We can't continue to stick to this, this, and this. But certain things just need to stay the same, which would be like valuing your center over your outside edge, things like that.
I think they evaluated their team, and to Stephen Jones's point, he didn't want to pay good money for mediocre players.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they let a lot of these guys walk.
Yep.
You know, they made the determination. Maybe it wasn't free agency from the outside, but more like inside.
Mm-hmm.
These players, Tyler Biadasz, I'm sorry, you're not worth $10 million
a year. That's a fact.
I think they don't feel like there was a huge drop-off from him to Hoffman for the money that you're paying.
Sure,
that's
exactly.
The evaluation.
Yeah.
Or from Dorrance to Sam for the money that Washington ended up paying.
And you can argue that, but I think that's, again, it goes back to their core principle of not wanting to overpay in free agency, even for their own guys, if they don't think those guys are necessarily worth the money.
You know he's going to get the last word.
Because I do get to end the show.
Yeah.
It's great to be the host. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. Back.
People on social media, please vote who had the better debate here.
Yeah.
Let's take in a vote.
It's always fun. This is what we do.
This is
what we do.
Against the guy. All right. I ain't scared, though. I ain't scared.
You ain't never scared.
I ain't never scared.
All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We're back next week. We'll get into a little more draft talk because I do want to get into some of these names from Brian on some guys that you should be keeping an eye on as we approach the draft.
It's a draft show tomorrow.
I will, but I want you to bring some of that to us, too. We'll watch the draft show, and everybody go out and check out the draft show, but bring some of that over here, too.
You got it, man.
We'll talk about it. Till then, for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!